Praise the Lord. I have some prayer requests that came in over the website. And first one is Brian Sperling. He's asking for salvation of Bartolo Cabarja. He's dying of a kidney disease in Mexico. Benstead Lovey, my left body went paralyzed due to a stroke caused by high blood pressure on the 17th of July, 2008. I am now believing the Lord Jesus Christ for complete healing. My wife Wilma to be healed from high blood pressure and diabetes. Crystal Bell to be healed of cancer. Patrick Leary to be healed of mouth cancer. I also pray for them as well and thank my Lord Jesus for his healing upon all of us. I can't say this first name, but its last name's Murray. Please pray for my marriage restoration. My wife and I have been living separately for 5 years. I've tried to bring her back in my life, but she's not willing to come back. I'm so scared and worried, I don't know what to do. We don't communicate at all. I love her so much. Our marriage is on the brink of a break. Please pray for my wife so that Jesus can touch her heart. I'm so broken. I need help. Thank you. Marion Horner, wanting a home church. She lives in Jackson, Tennessee. She watches and listens to church over the internet. Said she has listened to Brother Earl Gregory, Missouri. She wants a home church. I live in Jackson, Tennessee. I'm so hungry for fellowship. I need prayer. God will lead me. I've been listening to the sermons of Brother Jerry Browning. I am loving every one of his sermons. Lord bless. Back problems. My back, I have a disc that is bad and affects my feet and legs. I listen to your sermons and enjoy them. The word lifts my spirit. So if we go to prayer, I just want to remember these requests that have come in. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, first of all, to be here tonight, Lord. Lord, we have read these requests, dear Lord, from that have come in across the internet. Lord, there's a salvation for a man in Mexico is dying of a kidney disease. Lord, that you will save him, Lord. Bring him to salvation, Lord. A man who's been paralyzed on the left side of his body, Lord, that you would restore him, Lord, and heal his wife and these other people that he mentioned, Lord, of cancer and mouth cancer and so on, Lord. Lord, we ask for the man that's requesting prayer for his marriage. Lord, Satan, from the beginning, has always tried to destroy homes. And I pray, dear God, that you'll move, Lord, in this situation, Lord, and restore that home. Lord, I pray for the sister that's in Jackson, Tennessee, Lord, that you would lead her in the right direction, dear God, to where she may be able to help. To have a home church and be able to hear the word as it comes forth. We ask these things for them, Lord. Father, we ask tonight that you be with us in this service, that you will, Lord, anoint us, Lord, to where we can bring this message to help the people. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. While you're standing, would like to read from 1 John chapter 4. What I want to speak on, dwell with tonight is fear and faith. Fear and faith. And I want to look at, for a text, at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You may be seated. Fear and faith. We all have fear. Fear of many things. We have fear of failure. We have fear of rejection. Fear of being alone. Fear of sickness. Fear of losing a loved one. We have many fears, and they're many and they're heavy. The fear is heavy to carry. And fear is a great hindrance. It's one of the greatest hindrances to God's people is fear. Because if you will allow it, fear can control you. It'll control your thinking. It'll control how you believe it. It will paralyze your spirit. It'll damage your relationships. And it hinders our faith. Fear. Faith and fear cannot exist together. Well, what are we afraid of? All these things, you know, people talk about, I have some insecurities and I'm fearful of my finances. I'm fearful of what lays ahead of me, my future. I'm fearful of what lays behind me. I'm fearful of what people think about me. But all these fears are summed up into one thing, a lack of trust in God. And where people don't trust God, then there's no way they can say they have perfect love. Because if you have perfect love and you know he loved us first, then there's no fear of torment. In other words, there's no fear of judgment. That's why the Bible says that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, because we don't have to fear judgment. But we sometimes fear whether God will see to our need, whether he'll take care of the situation we're facing, or someone we must face. Fear not, the phrase fear not is mentioned in the Bible 63 times. Fear not. God knows that the enemy uses fear to decrease our hope and limit our victories. But we need to have faith. Faith is described in Hebrews 11:1 as being certain of what we do not see. Being certain of what we do not see. The evidence of things hoped for, right? It's being certain of what we do not see, feel, or taste, what's not tangible to our earthly senses. But people worry whether God will come through for them or not. And they'll worry themselves sick. They'll worry themselves sick over loved ones. They'll worry themselves sick over their finances sometimes. They'll worry themselves sick sometimes over their job or all these things, and it's because of fear. We can't have faith that God will take care of us if we're afraid he won't do it. Fear and faith can't coexist. But see, perfect love is agape love, not the filial love that we have, but agape love. It's a perfect love. And if we have that perfect love for God, then we know that he's going to take care of us because, friends, he has agape love or perfect love for us. His love is perfect in that there's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you perfectly. Electricity in this building, to get these lights to light up, we have to follow the laws of electricity. We can't just say, lights light up. You know, you got to go flip the switch. The law of electricity is you got to get power to them. And once you get power to them, then the lights will come on. Brother Branham gives an example and said if you had water over here on this hill and you had crops over here on this hill that were burning up, he said you can't say, water, go over there and water my crops. He says, but if you can use the law of gravity, you can get that water from one place over to another place to water your crops. And it's just, he says it works the same way with God. You've got to go according to the law of God. And the law of God is to have faith. And when you have faith, faith can move mountains. Faith can move everything that seems to be in your way. Faith is where you stand firm even when the situation around you doesn't look good. You can stand there in faith. There's been some times situations didn't look good around here. But we just had to stand in faith that God was going to take care. I've been here soon be 21 years. Yeah, I had to live by faith to even come here, to even make the move, to move my family 580-some miles south where we didn't hardly know y'all who moved down here. And my dad was worried that y'all would just like me today and hate me tomorrow. And there has been some, I guess, maybe that's been through here. But I had to have faith to stay here all this time. I'll tell you what, when I first came here, it was some lean times. We had 12 people that were eligible to vote when y'all voted me in as pastor. There was only 12 people here eligible to vote. And Brother Branham had said that those eligible to vote is those that support the church with their presence and their tithing and their offerings. And so we had 12 here. And I often say the Lord gave me 12. Because one of them left that very day. You know, Jesus said he's given me 12 and one of you is a devil. And that's the thought that came to me when that happened that day. So immediately it went down to 11. And there were a few young ones here. They're all growing up now and adults, but there was a few young ones here. And but we didn't have very many people. And financially, times were lean for me. But I had to trust God that he sent me and that he was going to take care of me. And there's been trials that have come along the way. And I've been tried to whether I would stand or compromise. Would I compromise on something so somebody wouldn't leave? Or would I stand firm and say, well, God bless you, and let them go? Well, you know what I did. And there was times I suffered. And then sickness. I went through sickness, both physically and mentally. And it had to be faith that allows me to still be here today. Faith that God would bring me through. And you say, did you have times of doubt and fear? Yes, because I'm human. And the reason I'm telling you these things is to tell you, you have doubts and fear, you're human. But if you can have perfect love, realize if you love, you have the right temperament of love to God, then you know that he's going to take care of you. It doesn't matter what, as I was giving you all these examples, it didn't matter what everything looked like. It didn't matter how bad things looked. But to have faith that no matter what, God was going to take care of the whole thing. Brother Branham says, when fear is gone, faith is perfect. He said, but the problem is people are scared that God won't keep his word. Now, people say, oh, no, I'm not scared he won't keep his word. Well, in his word, he said that if he could take care of the birds of the air, how much more could he take care of what he see to his children? Hallelujah. Takes care of the flowers of the field. How much more will he take care of his children? Now, our ideal of being took care of is sometimes a little off. We think that being took care of by God means that we would come to a place where there would be no need for any worry. There'd be no need for any, not that there is a need for worry, but we don't live in a bubble. He said the promise was to he that overcometh. Brother Branham says in a message, he says, God's not going to save you, fill you with the Holy Ghost, pull you through a pipe to glory, and then say, you're an overcomer. To be an overcomer, you've got to overcome things. And one of the things Satan uses to try to hinder you from overcoming or having victory is fear. People are afraid of many different things. I'm not making light of these things. There are people that I've come across, they're afraid of anesthesia. They have that fear. It's a reality to them. But if you realize your life's in God's hands, and whether you go or whether you stay is on his clock, then you can look at it and say, well, then I don't fear that. Because what they're really fearing is they're fearing death. And death, Brother Bram said, is only the vehicle that takes you from this dimension to that dimension. There's nothing to be afraid of. And you can't die until you've served your purpose here. So why fear death? And then once you've served your purpose, friends, I'll tell you what, you ought to be ready to go home. My dad, just before he passed, you know, he'd suffered so many illnesses, physical things. He told my mom just about a little while before he passed, he said, "Pat, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. I'm tired of fighting." And he was ready to go. I've told you the testimony of Sister Susan, who many of y'all remember came here. I've told you the testimony many times, but when she was in the hospital the last time, they had her strapped to a bed and had the thing tilted up like this, trying to distribute things right to get her out of pain. And she said, "Brother Jerry," she says, "am I going to die?" And I told her, I said, "Sister, what better healing could you have than in the next few hours to have a new body?" She said, "All right." And that was it. She knew medications about as good as a doctor did. She wouldn't take anything until I got up there. She wouldn't let them give her no pain medicines or nothing else to cloud her mind. She was suffering through the pain. She wanted to wait for me to get there. And after I got there and spoke to her and that, and I walked out, the nurse told me later, as soon as you walked out, she asked for a particular pain med that just put her out. She never came back to. She was ready to go. She was ready to go. She was ready to leave here. She didn't, at that point, she didn't fear death anymore. She embraced it. Many times I said to you here recently about how the devil used to fight me over telling me I was going to fail here. And he would all the time tell me, there's been so many failures here before you, you're going to fail too. And you get to where you fear that failure. And if you know, Brother Branham said, Job's fear brought those things on him. What he feared, in other words, is what happened to him. The things that he feared. I remember having some difficulties in my body. And then heard about somebody else having prostate cancer. The next thing you know, here comes that fear. Maybe that's what you've got. But I didn't want to let that fear grip me, because I remembered that and said, nope, I ain't wanting that. I'm not claiming that. I'm not accepting that. And I told you about the one time I was having trouble swallowing, and a brother come by to visit, and he said, yeah, he had a brother that was having trouble swallowing like that, and then he died. He had cancer of the throat. And I thought, oh, mercy. And so, you know, but instead of letting fear take over, just go find out what it is. Sometimes people are afraid to find out what it is. Just go get it took care of. You know, get it off your mind. Sometimes you let things get on your mind and you just stew about them. And you think about them, and you think about them, and you pour over them in your mind, and you keep going over it, and you keep going over it, and you're tormenting yourself. You're making yourself downright miserable. When you need to Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. We need to commit all things to him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. I've heard people use that particular verse, verse 10 there, to say that there's no more need of the fivefold ministry, because they're saying that which is perfect to come was when the prophet came, and that which was in part was the fivefold ministry. We don't need it no more. Well, I got a couple things to say on that. One, it ain't what this scripture's talking about. This whole scripture we just read didn't talk about fivefold ministry, preaching, prophets, or nothing. All he talked about was love, 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 love. That's all it talked about. And it said, when that which is perfect, meaning that perfect love comes, then those things which are in part are done away with. Now, I didn't just come up with that on my own. That's what the prophet said. So that's the other thing I got to say about it. That's what he said. And so people would have to say, they'd have to say they don't believe that particular message. He preached it on the unpardonable sin. They'd have to say, well, I don't believe what he said in there, to say that that means something other than what he said it meant. The love of Christ. If he's almighty, then he does all things. If God can't do all things, then he's not almighty God. But if he's almighty God, then there's nothing impossible for him. He can do all things. And God careth about everything in your life. Everything you have. People say, I worked hard for this. Who gave you that job? Who gave you that strength in your body where you could work hard? It was God. You don't got nothing that God didn't allow for you to have. God give it to you. He give you the means to get it. You didn't do it on your own. What you got, you didn't make this on your own. God did it. I didn't make this church or build this church. God did. God told me he was going to make it a strong church. I couldn't do it. I never even tried. Because I know that I wasn't the one that said I'd do it. He was the one that said he'd do it. So I just had to believe him for it. I commit my soul to God. I commit my body to God, my living to God, my means of living to God, I commit my breathing to God. I commit my dying to God. And I commit my resurrection to God. I commit it all to God. I commit my work to God. I commit all of it, everything of my life, I commit it to God. Loved ones, I commit them to God. I don't try to change them. I just get in prayer that God will do it. Because I've learned if God don't do it, I can't do it. So I pray for God to do it. He's the only one that can. God was the only one that could turn me around from the direction I was heading. And I'll tell you what, he'll go to great lengths to turn the person around. I'm a living testimony of that. It took a war to happen for God to turn me around. I often said that war wasn't because of Saddam Hussein, but it was because of Jerry Browning. I had to go to that war for God to get a hold of me and turn me around from the direction I was heading in. Brother Dan Daisley, when I was going to war, Brother Dan came by the church up in Ohio and was preaching. I guess my dad was really going through it, as they would say, trialing it, because he was so concerned about me going to war. And so Brother Dan come and preach, and while he was preaching, he just spoke out. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke through him to my dad and said, this isn't a war between Iraq and the United States. It's a war between God and Satan over Jerry. Well, thank God he won. But you know, the thing about it is, you can stick your chest out there, because you know God's going to win every time. Every battle, if you'll commit it to him, you'll win. You'll win it if you'll commit it to him. Hallelujah. You know how to win a battle over finances? Commit it to God, and then when you no longer worry about it, you've won. Anything you got going on, when you get to a place where you don't worry over it no more, then you've truly committed it to God, and you've won. It don't matter if you don't see nothing moving. When you don't worry no more, you have won, because that's what your battle was. When you don't fear no more. Brother Ram says, perfect love casts out every fear. All fear. He said, if you can have the right kind of love in your heart, you won't have one speck of fear whether you can keep his word or not. There's people that have a fear when they come to God, I don't know if I can live this or not. I might disappoint people. I don't know if I can do this or not. It's fear. Satan's trying to make them fear because he wants them to fail. But the thing about it is, God said in his word that the good work he started, that he would finish it. So you ain't the one that's got to do it. He is. You're not the one seeing over yourself. He is. Perfect love casts out fear, Brother Bram said. Then faith comes in and takes the place of fear. You can't have faith till you have love. As long as you got fear, you can't have faith. So you got to have love first, and it drives all fear out. Then you can have faith. Faith that God will take care. Faith that God's got the situation in control. He's got it in hand. He's got your life in control. Well, am I going to make the rapture or not? Look, it's in God's hands. If it was in my hands, whether I was going to make the rapture or not, I wouldn't make it. If it was in your hands, whether you were going to make the rapture or not, you wouldn't make it. But it ain't in your hands. It's in God's hands. And he said in his word, I will present to myself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So he said he was going to do it. He's the one that saves you. We can't save ourselves. He's the one that delivers us. We can't deliver ourselves. And he's the one that's going to take us through. And he's provided things for us along the way to help us make it through. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing of the what? The word. Right. So, you know, get them tapes out or CDs or whatever it is, MP3s or flash drives or whatever you got, iPads or whatever, and listen to the word. They've got programs you can get on your phone where it'll read the Bible to you. And they got a program out from Voice of God where you can play messages right off your phone. So it's readily accessible. And it'll play it where it follow right the words right along. You can see the words. Listen to the word. If you miss a service here, then go online and listen to it first chance you get. Because they get posted pretty quick online. And I'm looking at making it to where they even get quicker. I've been looking at computers, and we've got a slow computer up there, and so I've been looking at computers, and I got to talk over with Brother Todd and get some of his knowledge in there, and we'll get something that'll work a little better for him up there, and a little faster, and but. They get the messages up there sometimes or most of the time, and right after it gets preached, it gets posted, it gets up there. We don't stream yet. We don't have that capacity just yet. But you can get them real quick and listen to them. Listen to the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. The more you know what you feed upon will show in your life, you'll be able to see the difference when you start feeding on the right thing. You'll be able to see the difference in your faith. You'll be able to see the difference in your walk when you feed on the right things. When you really love the Lord, then you can trust him. In the midst of a rejected king, Brother Bram's actually giving his testimony. And he talks about when he, if you remember, he was laying there in bed and he was worried and wondering how it would be, whether he'd just be, he didn't want to be just a floating around spirit, you know. And all of a sudden, he felt himself lift up. And he looked back and there he was, himself laying in bed, but he was being lifted up. And it was by an angel. And he went beyond the curtain of time. And I want to read to you an excerpt from this message of what he says. He said, I looked this way and that way, and they were coming by the thousands. And I said, I don't understand this. And here come Hope. That was my first wife. And she run and never said my husband. She said my precious brother. And when she hugged me, there was another woman standing there that hugged me. And then Hope hugged this woman. And they hugged each other. And I thought, oh, why, this has got to be something different. It can't be. There's something I thought, oh, would I ever want to go back to that old carcass again? And I looked around and I thought, what is this? And I looked real good. I said, I can't understand this. But Hope seemed to be like a guest of honor. She was no different, but just like a guest of honor. And I heard a voice then that spoke to me that was in the room and said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love, and nothing can enter here without it. I'm more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. Sickness could never be there. Mortality could never make you old. They could not cry. It was just one joy. Oh, my precious brother. And they took me up and set me on a high, great high place. And I thought, I'm not dreaming. I'm looking back, my body laying down there in the bed. And they set me up there. And I said, I shouldn't sit up here. And here come women and men from both sides, just in the bloom of youth, screaming. One woman standing there screaming, oh, my precious brother, oh, we are so happy to see you here. I said, I don't understand. And then the voice that was speaking from above me said, you know, it's written in the Bible that the prophets are gathered with their people. And I said, yes, I remember that in the scriptures. Said, why, this is when you will gather with your people. I said, then they'll be real and I can feel them? And he said, oh, yes. I said, but there's millions. There's not that many Branhams. The voice said, they're not Branhams, they're your converts. That's the ones that you led to the Lord. And said, some of them women that you think are so beautiful were better than 90 years old when you led them to the Lord. No wonder they're screaming, oh, precious brother. And they screamed all at once, if you hadn't went, we wouldn't be here. Huh. You hadn't went, we wouldn't be here. I'm thankful. I'm thankful God sent a prophet. Amen. I don't care what people call us. I don't care what they think about us. But friends, we've got a word that's going to lift us out of here one of these days. Amen. We're going to take a flight. Brother Dan Daisy used to always say, he said, not going to take an airplane ride, we're going to take a plain air ride. I like to see love in our midst. I witnessed some things here that have taken place, and I'll tell you what, there's some miraculous things that have happened here. We're in a revival right now. Amen. God has been touching lives and changing hearts. You know, and Hope y'all don't mind me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Back in December, Seth wanted to punch David. Sunday, David helped baptize him. And then he went out to eat with us. We all went out to eat, and he sat and talked to David. There's a change happened, you know. And change in all of us. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. When I was in Ohio this last time, I was pretty discouraged about everything. I was really down. And I was just pretty discouraged about everything here. And I thought, what's going to come of this church? But, you know, it ain't my church. It's God's church. You know? And it'll be here till he shuts the door. You know? Or allows the door to be shut, I reckon. But as long as the door is open, why, then what have we got to fear? God's gave us a good place. Brother Phil, first time, I took him to the mission field with us once to the Philippines. And he preached in a little church that was down by the river. And they just had make do things that they'd made this somewhat kind of a, the way he described it, it sounded more like a lean-to than a building. They just kind of framed a little something up and had, you know, I don't, some of the houses they live in over there, friends, they just kind of frame it up and they'll take like tin and they have tin on for their walls and their roof and all that, you know, and that's it. That's what they got. And some of them just have a kind of like a blanket for the door. But Brother Phil, the way he described this place, it was pretty primitive. And he said while he was preaching, there was a big old rat ran across the crossways of the church, you know, big old river rat. And he thought about what God gave us, you know. God give us a nice place. And we've done things to keep it up and take care of it. And we ought to do that, take care of what God gives us. And David, in the Bible, you know, David talked about how he lived in a palace, and yet God was in tents. And he's thought God ought to have as good a house as what he's got. And of course, we know he said, what house will you build me? You know, God doesn't dwell in the building. But I think the house of God, we ought to take care of it. I think if you take care of your own home, you ought to take care of God's house. And we do. And God's given us a good place here. And we've got love for one another. That was what I was talking about just a little earlier. You know, we got love one for another. There ain't no hatred. We ain't holding no grudges one against the other. But having love for one another. And then you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see it get so much love where it'd be hard to leave the building. You know, we've had some services here where I went to the back after one service and Brother Jim said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. And that's wonderful when you get in the presence of God like that and God falls in a service. And but we ought to have so much love here. Brother Branham prayed one place and said, God give us so much love we wouldn't want to leave the building. Amen. Fear. We got to overcome fears. The way we do that is by perfect love. Having perfect love. Loving God. And once we know we love him, we know he loves us, we know he'd take care of us. we can trust him. We can trust him with everything that we've got going on in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for your word, words of encouragement, instruction, and help. Lord, we are to identify the times where fear is trying to control us. When we identify that fear is trying to control us in a certain area, then, Lord, we can take the situation to you. And once we lay it at your feet, dear God, we have no more fear of whatever it is. Lord, I pray you bless your people tonight, Lord, as you blessed them with your word. Continue to bless them, Lord. Bless them throughout the remaining part of this week and bring us back here on Sunday at the appointed time, Lord. We're waiting, Lord, anxiously for the next service to hear what you have for us. We just give you praise now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.